Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Quantum Spirituality on DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com, the show where past spiritual wisdom and present-day science merge to show us our future. Your host is Peter Canova, author of the 25-time award-winning book series, The First Souls Trilogy, available on Amazon, and Peter's website, PeterCanova.com. That's PeterCanova.com. This show is a live video, so if you're only listening and want to watch, go to Peter's website, PeterCanova.com. PeterCanova.com, where you can access his Facebook page to leave comments or questions. And click the D7RN link, where you can receive a free gift video.
Hello, friends, followers, and listeners. I'm your host from Quantum Spirituality, Peter Canova. This is the show where the past and the present merge to unlock the mysteries of our future. I just want to remind our new listeners that you may want to go back and listen to the first three shows because this show builds one episode on the other. It's kind of instructional in a way. And in the first three episodes in particular, we provide a framework to understand some of the issues that we speak of on quantum physics and on spirituality in the later episodes. So we have a great show lined up for you today. And without any further delay, please listen to it and enjoy. And join us every Tuesday, first Tuesday of every month for Quantum Spirituality. Hi, everybody. This is Peter Canova, your host for Quantum Spirituality. And we have some big news to tell you about, and that is we have a final publication date for the Quantum Spirituality book by Inner Traditions and distributed by Simon & Schuster. And that is going to be in December of this year. And I'm going to tell you about the book today, but let me first say that if you are interested in pre-sales, you can go to this little box here that you see to the right of me. And if you want to copy that down, that is the short URL to get to the Amazon site where the pre-sales of the book are being handled. Or if you want to go to my website, there is a direct link to the Amazon pre-sale site. So, you know, at this point, I think it's really important to go back to the basics and talk to you about what this whole thing of quantum spirituality is, because this is the name of the podcast and it's also the name of the book. And statistics are showing me, and this is astonishing me, that we have probably over 500,000 viewers of this show. And I think that many of them probably understand the gist of what I've been trying to convey throughout all these different episodes. But I think it's probably a good time with the publication of this book to tell you a little bit about the book, about the show, and about really why I got into this whole line of ancient spiritual texts and quantum physics and merging them and comparing them. And, you know, it's not an academic exercise. These topics can get pretty difficult to follow. I know if you do the raw research that I've been doing on quantum physics and all these arcane ancient spiritual texts, it can drive you crazy, kind of enough to make you tear your hair out. It definitely requires a lot of brain cell activity to wade through this stuff. But my task is to try and simplify it and make it intelligible for the average person who doesn't have that much time to devote to studying these matters. And it's not just an intellectual exercise, and it's not just meant for academic interest. What it really is about is trying to give you a roadmap of how to live and even how to die. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm trying to put our lives in a context, a larger context that shows what our meaning, our purpose, and our destiny is. And that means we have to have an understanding of reality. And reality is not just limited to what we perceive as this physical world and our physical bodies. Reality is composed of multiple layers of existence. You can call these hidden dimensions. You can call it the multiverse. And we're going to cover some things about the multiverse in this episode later on. But essentially, there are other dimensions out there. And these dimensions of existence directly affect ours. They interpenetrate ours, and they directly affect ours. And we, more than likely, our souls, the essence of what we are, not just our physical bodies, but our essence, probably travels through many of these various dimensions in different iterations of our lives, in different iterations of our existence. And notice I use the word existence and not life, because existence is a little bit different from life. Life refers to maybe just a singular appearance on this planet, whereas existence implies that we pre-exist eternally, and that we're essentially dimensional travelers. We're dimensional surfers, and we pack up like the endless summer. We pack up and we go from like one beach to another, looking for that big wave. It's kind of like what it would be like living in a multiple universe or a multiverse. These other dimensions, are these the places we go to when we die? Perhaps. But they certainly do affect us where we're living right now. And that is where quantum physics and ancient spirituality come in, because they both give us a picture and they give us a hint that this is really the case, that there really are multiple dimensions of existence that we will experience. And it's pretty astonishing when you see all these ancient spiritual wisdom texts saying the same thing that modern theories of quantum physics are saying. So the reason why I put these two together is because together they have strength, and apart they can be questioned. You know, ancient spiritual texts, when you see how astonishing the information was in terms of predating these findings of quantum physics, that starts to tell you something. It's sort of like bookends, okay? You know, if you only have one bookend, well, you know, you don't really kind of have an arena of information. But if you have a scientific bookend on one side and a spiritual bookend on the other side, then you have a context, then you have an arena, and they're reinforcing each other. And they're forming those parameters, they're forming that story, and they're reinforcing a story of our existence at levels beyond what we perceive as physical reality. So that's the importance of quantum spirituality. That's why we merge quantum, and that's why we merge spirituality. It's kind of like an X and Y axis to better understand existence. And it isn't an abstract exercise, unless you want to make it that way, because once you have these understandings, and once you have this knowledge that's gained by seeing what the sacred ancient wisdom texts say and modern science says, you start to have a better sense of what's real and what's not real. If you think on these things and meditate on these things, and you have a knowledge base to understand life, that's what it's really all about. And you don't just understand life, but maybe you understand more about existence. And when you understand these things, you can live a better life here on Earth. And in the afterlife, with this knowledge, you probably progress to places that you may want to be, because a lot of what we hear about the afterlife is that we kind of create our afterlife in the here and now. The way we think about things, the way we perceive, the way we feel about things has very much to do with what we experience after we leave this dimension of existence and go on to another one. So that if you have a pretty enlightened view of what's happening, well, hopefully your experiences in the next go around will be enlightening too. Whereas if your views are limited and fearful, you know, you tend to have more of a hellish experience, more of a difficult experience in the next incarnation you have, or in the next form you might take in one of these other dimensions. I do believe that because you really are what you think. And if we're really thinking in an enlightened way, then will have enlightened experiences. So the knowledge that you'll get from this book and from this podcast is really designed to bring it on home personally, to really help you live a more empowered life in the here and now, to take all these principles and bring them into a practice that can help your life here and now and make your life better. And also give you an idea or a better understanding of how we will continue on once we leave this physical body. And everybody at some point is going to have to face this question, because we're not going to be here forever. We weren't meant to be here forever. And that big question of the big unknown, it may not weigh on your mind right now, but at some point, particularly as you get older and you start to get more of a sense of your own mortality and the transience or the impermanence of this existence, you start to wonder and you start to think in these matters, and not to be fearful about them when you have a better understanding and a better feeling and a better sense of the reality of the things we're talking about here. It's very comforting. It's what I would call an easy pathway into the afterlife. So the purpose of the book and the purpose of this show is to provide you that scientific and that spiritual wisdom to help you get to that level of consciousness where you can use it to experience a more productive and fruitful life in the here and now, and also to have a good transition into the thereafter. Now, I think at this point, what I'd like to do is give you a little bit more example of what you will find in the Quantum Spirituality book, because my publishers are telling me this is one of the best books they've run across. And I think the reason they're saying that is because it is so comprehensive. It literally takes you from the early days when spirituality is being formed through the Christian era, the Judeo-Christian era of the Western world, and the mystical traditions that existed at that time before they were suppressed by high priests and the Catholic Church, goes on through and understands to explain the message that Jesus was teaching in maybe a different light than what we've all learned in church. Then it goes into psychology and some of the great psychologists like Carl Jung, and how this wisdom, ancient spiritual wisdom, and how science merged in his thinking to express some very insightful things about our psychology, about how our mind works. And then we get into actual merging of quantum science and ancient spirituality, and give some very startling examples of how they were telling us the same story about creation, about our existence, and indicating what our purpose for being here would be. So I think what I'd like to do is just give you a quick run through the introduction of the book, and that will help you get a little bit of awareness of what the book encompasses. And then we're going to go into some interesting and current information about the multiverse and some of the very latest theories in quantum science that are indicating some pretty explosive stuff about our existence and our world, and about the greater cosmos, the greater picture around us. So let's start off with a little bit of an overview of the book Quantum Spirituality. I thought the best way to give you a feel for what quantum spirituality is about is to run through the table of contents. So start off with some basic information. And then in chapter two, I get into my own personal experiences of how I got woke and into this whole line of thinking and questioning. And then we cover the perennial philosophy in chapter three, which is the sacred ancient wisdom that was prevalent and universal throughout the ancient world. We then go into discussing the sacred feminine, the feminine principle in mysticism, which is really critical to making that connection to higher consciousness and understanding the source of life on Earth. Then we go into the specific tradition of Gnosticism, which we cover a lot in this show. And the Gnostics were probably, from the Western point of view, the greatest of all the mystics that we had. And the information that they gave us was really enlightening. And this is probably the most scientific branch of mysticism that I have run across. And we go into the great myth of Sophia, which is the Gnostic creation story. Very, very fascinating story. Continue into the fall of spirit and how spirit descended from energetic consciousness into physical form. We go into the force of opposition, which is the dark side of spirit, you know, the yin and the yang. And then the first appearance of matter, how matter was formed. Then we go into Jewish mysticism and the origin of the Kabbalah, a very fascinating information here that a lot of people don't know about Jewish mysticism and how the Kabbalah came into being. And the Kabbalah was basically one of the sources that Gnosticism derived from, that the Gnostics were Christian mystics, the Kabbalists were Jewish mystics. And then we get into the era of the teaching of Jesus of Nazareth and show and demonstrate that he had a secret teaching that he was divulging to certain elect group of people, amongst them the disciples, as opposed to the general information that he was giving out to the masses. And then we go into a little bit of a story about what it might have been like for a young man who was in the Egyptian Palestinian Jewish tradition back in those days, in the days when the city of Alexandria was one of the primary cities in the Western world, and how this young man became an adept, how he was initiated into a Gnostic temple. Then from there, we go into the psychological discoveries of Carl Jung, one of the greatest psychologists, if not the greatest psychologist of the modern age. Then we talk about how matter is formed from the psychic dimension that Jung described. Now, in chapter 16, we get into the strange properties of the quantum world, quantum weirdness. Excuse me. Chapter 17 is an introduction, a basic introduction to quantum physics, so you can understand the basics of what it is and how it works. Then we go into how quantum physics and consciousness are related. And then we start merging the ancient spiritual wisdom we've covered with quantum physics to give a multi-discipline, a multi-viewpoint of creation and how things came about. Chapter 20, we summarize all this vast information for you. It's a good to have a midpoint summary to get all these principles in mind, because we're covering a lot of factual stuff. Chapter 21 is the way we perceive the world, that the world is an illusion, and how it is that we perceive it as being a reality. Then we get into the newest and latest theories of quantum physics, and we talk about the hidden energy matrix behind creation. And from there we go to how consciousness creates reality, and then how mysticism predicted quantum physics. This gets into specific examples, actual portions of ancient texts showing how they got they basically predicted things like the Big Bang, the multiverse, parallel universes, and many of the theories of modern quantum physics literally out of the pages of these ancient texts. Then we start to dissect our own minds and the different levels of mind that we have, which is important in understanding how we can achieve consciousness. And that's the topic of the next chapter, Conditioning for Consciousness, which is how we bring all this information down to a level that will benefit us. Like I said, nothing we do here is purely for academic purposes. Ultimately, it has to answer the question, what's in this for me? How do I make this useful for me? And that's where we start to get into the background of exactly how we bring this home for our own purposes. We get into techniques of meditation to help open us up to higher levels of consciousness. And then finally, we end with some other information that indicates that all the stuff we've said here, although it sounds very speculative and sometimes mystical and sometimes confusingly scientific, we get into the fact that, yes, it is real, and this is why it's real. So finally, in the closing chapters, we talk about religion, materialism, and a third way between the limitations of a traditional religion and materialistic science. And we point to the fact that there's a third way, which is the merger of a higher spiritual understanding and more advanced science to point to another way of existence for us. Then finally, in the appendix, we get into detail about some various topics of interest. And that pretty much should give you an idea. It's the gist of the book, and it pretty much gives you an idea of the things the book is going to cover. But it's only an idea because there's a lot more in here. I mean, we get into really granular stuff too, like, for instance, how we see, how our brains interpret things and why we look at things as 3D in nature. It's a pretty, pretty thorough book. And by the time you finish this, I think you're going to have a lot better picture of how our world works. This is Dream Vision 7 Radio and TV Network and Quantum Spirituality with Peter Canova. I am your host, author of the 25-time award-winning First Souls Trilogy, which is available on my website, petercanova.com. That's PETERCANOVA.com. Please visit when you have a chance, and we'll be back shortly.
The First Souls Trilogy, one of the most highly awarded fictional independent book series on the market, is a grand vision of human evolution. It chronicles the first spirit consciousness to enter the material world in three page-turning novels that introduce a new paradigm of reality based on genuine ancient wisdom and quantum science. These inspirational thrillers will force you to rethink the nature of the world in which we live. Visit the PeterCanova.com website for information and ordering. In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
We're back, and I'm your host, Peter Canova. Incidentally, you can listen to the show online in your car with Bluetooth or on Amazon Echo simply by saying, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7. You can also go to my website, petercanova.com, that's P-E-T-E-R-C-A-N-O-V-A.com, where you can access the show and the archives, or you can leave comments through the portal accessing to my Facebook page, Peter Canova Author, and leave any comments. Okay, so let's talk today about the multiverse or the multiple universe theory. This has a lot of support, both from ancient wisdom and modern science. The parallels are pretty startling. And if you remember, and those of you who have followed the show will probably remember, that the Gnostic creation story basically was a picture of layers of dimensions, each projecting out from one another, like a chain link fence might, one link at a time. And in the Gnostic version, these dimensions really were levels of consciousness of the one consciousness of the supreme consciousness or God, whichever term you might choose. But these levels of consciousness were actual places, you could say, not necessarily physical places, but spheres of energy, spheres of a common type of energy that would define their dimensional boundaries. And they were interpenetrating and relating to one another. In other words, one dimension would project the dimension below it, and that one would project another one below it, and so forth. Until finally, you came to the bottom of the barrel, which would be us, unfortunately. But these dimensional spheres would be basically populated by clusters of beings or consciousness that would be very fine as to be undetectable to us in gross material terms, really be levels of energy. But going on down until you had maybe dimensions where there were bodies made of a subtle matter, similar to ours, but not detectable by our senses. And so finally, you get down to gross matter in truly dense physical form, which is our universe. So that was the Gnostic conception of the multiverse or multiple universes. And this whole idea has great support in modern science and particularly quantum science, because there are features of our universe that just aren't really explainable or don't fall together unless they are part of a dimensional pattern where there are things or forces happening in other dimensions that basically project this reality. Now, I can't get into this in great detail because it's going to be pretty long-winded and confusing. But essentially, if you think of it as building blocks, and one block builds upon another, but you know, you remove one of those and the whole thing collapses. So what we view as reality in many scientific circles really isn't plausible unless you think of it being part of a multi-dimensional reality, different layers or different levels of dimensional existence. So there's probably, maybe a dozen plausible theories out there of exactly what this multiverse looks like, and how it came into being. But what they have in common is that they their interpenetrating realities. So, you know, for example, in an earlier show, I put forth a theory that dark matter and dark energy are actually phenomena that are leaking through from other dimensions that have an effect, unseen effect, on our own dimension. And just so you remember as a refresher, dark energy is a force that pushes the universe outward. It causes the universe to expand because the universe is expanding at a pretty good clip. However, how do we explain why the universe just doesn't fly apart? Why we're able to cohere or exist as a physical reality? And the answer to that is there's another force at play called dark matter. And dark matter is the force, kind of like gravity, in a way that keeps everything together. It causes the galaxies to cluster in clumps of galaxies, you know, within the universe. And the reason that both of them are called dark energy or dark matter is that they don't react with light. And so they're not really directly detectable to any of our physical instruments. However, we can sort of see the footprints of their actions, the force to cohere or the force to expand. So where do these forces come from, or where does energy come from at all? I mean, scientists know about energy. They know how to manipulate energy, but they have no idea what energy is. They have no idea where it comes from. I mean, ask any scientist, and if they give you an honest answer and you say, what is energy? Where does it come from? They should tell you, I don't really know. Energy certainly seems to come from something outside or something inside, as the case may be, our own physical reality. And it manifests itself in this world in terms of forces. But the source of those forces is something that seems to be hidden from us, probably because they reside from other dimensions, higher dimensions. So the whole idea of the multiverse being like a stack of blocks or pancakes that support one another, you know, has a lot of support in scientific circles. And like I say, the common denominator that the various theories have is that we couldn't exist without other dimensions that underlie ours, which means that we have to look at the whole idea of reality as us being one small part of a matrix or a network of creation, some of which we can detect a little bit, most of which we can't really detect at all. But we are part of this greater matrix, and we arise from this greater matrix. We're essentially projected from this greater matrix. So let's look in detail at some of the features of the multiverse and some ideas and theories of how it operates and the effects that it may have on our own particular existence. Okay, so what's some of the rationale or the basis behind the multiverse theory? Well, one of the most common examples is something called inflation. And inflation is based on the belief by many scientists that when our universe was very young, we started from a point that was so small that it wouldn't be visible. But in a really very, very brief period of time, the universe underwent this period of rapid expansion or inflation to become much larger than what its original size was. So they theorize that inflation ended in our universe, they say, about 14 billion years ago. Now the universe is expanding, but rapid inflation of that kind ended about 14 billion years ago. But it may not have been a uniform halt of the inflation, that distant regions of the inflated area could have continued inflating and even continuing today. So individual universes could pinch off of these larger inflating, expanding universes. So it's creating an effect like this infinite sea of perpetual inflation filled with numerous individual universes. Now, that could be the way that our own universe came into being, and it could be possibly the way our universe gives birth to other universes. But in this internal inflation scenario, each universe would have its own laws of physics, its own collection of particles. So there may be an infinity of universes, all with their own laws of physics, their own collection of stars and galaxies, and maybe even their own intelligent civilizations. Now, just as a little sidebar here, we've had a couple of shows on the UFO phenomena. And one of my firm beliefs is that these visitations are not extraterrestrial, but they're interdimensional. That is that I believe that beings from other dimensions are visiting our dimension here, and they may actually be able to bring a bubble of their own dimension in with them. In other words, a bubble containing their own laws of physics. And this could be the reason that these UFO craft are able to do such impossible things that counter our own laws of physics, the sudden way they speed up, making these hairpin turns and everything else. Anyway, just a little sidebar theory I have. But scientists have tried to find some physical or hard evidence for the multiverse's existence. So, for example, if a neighboring universe happened to be close to ours a long time ago, it may have collided with our universe, leaving some kind of a detectable imprint. Some scientists believe that black holes may give us clues or remnants of these universal breakoffs around black holes may give us some clues in the future, but that's yet to be proven. One of the most mind-blowing kinds of scenarios that arise from the existence of the multiverse is doppelgangers. So, in other words, if there really is an infinity of universes, but there's only so many ways you can arrange particles in any individual universe, that the same patterns eventually are bound to repeat themselves. And that would mean that you might have an exact copy of you listening to this podcast, and there could be an infinite number of universes where there would be an infinite number of these exact scenarios happening simultaneously. That's according to the Institute of Physics. Now, I remember seeing a video with Dr. Michio Kushi, the physicist, and he was talking about the fact that we could be living right in the middle of parallel universes where the dinosaurs never ceased to exist, where things that happened in our historical timeline, you know, could be completely different in those other timelines. That maybe the United States didn't win World War II, unfortunately. We hope that things like that don't happen. But I mean, it opens up really a just an incredible world of possibilities of what could be happening in these multiple or parallel universes. Now, if the Gnostics were correct, universes that are vibrating at a higher dimension above ours, from which ours appeared, could be aware of what's going on in our universe, much more aware of what's going on in our universe than we are aware of what's going on in theirs. We might see faint echoes or perceive some outlines or shadows of these other universes, but they may, other dimensions, but these higher dimensions may have a much clearer view of what is going on in our particular existence. That certainly was the Gnostic view of how the whole dimensional ladder would work, because remember, in their view, one dimension gave birth to another, and that these dimensions were indeed defined by intelligent beings, and the dimension, their actual dimensions were defined by their degree or vibration of consciousness. So for them, the dimensions really were just vibrations of higher and lower vibrations, and that one of these levels of consciousness could give birth to another lower level of consciousness, so that they would know a little bit more what's happening in the lower world, but the lower world wouldn't be quite as clued in about what was happening above. Certainly one of the ways that we can validly perceive these dimensions is by meditation and by psychic means. In fact, perhaps that is our best window into what some of these other dimensions may look like, because hard physical science really has to end where the Big Bang started. We can't see what's on the other side of the Big Bang with physical instruments. We may have echoes or footprints, but we don't really know. But if you look at the Gnostic seers and the incredible information they brought back describing all these different theories of quantum physics, like the Big Bang, parallel dimensions, the multiverse, the holographic universe, it's just you know, what they brought back from their voyage, their mind voyage into these other dimensions was really incredible. So perhaps at the end of the day, our greatest tool is really within our own minds and not so much within the instruments that we create in order to detect and understand these parallel worlds. It's time for a short break. I just want to remind you again that Quantum Spirituality, the book, is out for pre-sales. If you look at the box to the right of me in blue and go to that URL, it'll bring you straight to the Amazon site, or you can go to my website, petercanova.com. That's PETERCANOVA.com. And there's a link there that will directly bring you to the Amazon pre-sale site. I really think that this book is going to be a life-changing experience for a lot of people because it's so comprehensive that it probably ties together many other things you've sort of seen in other places that don't go into as much detail and tell a cohesive story. But anyway, we're going to be taking a very short break now, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
The First Souls Trilogy, one of the most highly awarded fictional independent book series on the market, is a grand vision of human evolution. It chronicles the first spirit consciousness to enter the material world in three page-turning novels that introduce a new paradigm of reality based on genuine ancient wisdom and quantum science. These inspirational thrillers will force you to rethink the nature of the world in which we live. Visit the PeterCanova.com website for information and ordering. In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Cat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Quantum Spirituality on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Peter Canova, and you can find out more about me at PeterCanova.com. That's PeterCanova.com. And please, if you enjoy the show and have any questions or comments for me, leave them on my Facebook page, Peter Canova Author, or also you can leave comments on my website. So today we're discussing the latest news from the scientific world as it relates to subjects we talk about on Quantum Spirituality. Okay, we're back and we're talking about the multiverse. And there's a really interesting new theory that just got published in the Annals of Physics. And it suggests that there may be another anti-universe that actually runs backward in time, a mirror image of ours. And it really has to do with something called symmetries. So physicists have identified a set of fundamental symmetries in nature, and basically three of them. One of them is charge. So if you flip the charges of all the particles in an interaction to their opposite charge, you'll get the same interaction. The other one is parity. If you look at a mirror image an interaction, you get the same result. And time. So if you run an interaction backward in time, it looks the same. So charge, parity, and time, CPT, is what they call the collective symmetry that operates in our universe. And all physical interactions obey these symmetries. And the idea of this mirror universe assumes that the early universe was small and hot and dense, and it was so uniform that time looks symmetrical, going both forward and backward. Now, usually the symmetries, the CPT, this collective symmetry, it only applies to interactions of the forces and fields and particles that make up the physics of our world, of our cosmos. But the theory looks at the fact that if symmetry is so important, then instead of just applying to the interactions of specific particles and forces, that it may apply to the entire universe itself. And look, the simplest way for me to describe this is that if the forces and the particles are just the actors, the symmetry is not just applying to the actors, but it's applying to the entire stage, to the entire physical makeup of the universe. So they're saying that there's got to be more to this whole idea of symmetry, because to preserve the symmetry found throughout the cosmos, there must be a mirror image cosmos that balances out our own. And this cosmos would have all the opposite charges that we have, but they'll be flipped like a mirror and run backward in time. So our universe is, you know, kind of a twin. But taken together, the two universes would explain the operations of this overall symmetry that appears everywhere. So, you know, now we're starting to get somewhere. Because if you recall, we said in previous shows that I suspect that the whole idea of dark matter, which is this unseen matter that seems to be holding our universe together, that dark matter and other energies, I believe, are coming from other dimensions, or they very much have to do with the fact that we are in a chain of dimensions. And these dimensions kind of are balanced like blocks. They're taken together. If you pull one of them out, everything kind of falls apart. But, you know, energy, again, is something we've talked about before, where scientists understand how to manipulate energy, but they have no idea where energy comes from. So I believe that energy is something that permeates throughout dimensions, and that what many of the unexplicable, inexplicable forces in our own dimension are actually seeping in from other universes, other dimensions. And this is very much in keeping with what the Gnostics told us about the creation, because if you remember in the Gnostic creation story, it was a series of dimensions, each dependent one on the other, that kind of compounded and projected out from the original source consciousness to form the totality of reality. And we only see reality, a very, very small portion of reality, from our vantage point as physical beings in a physical universe. But we are now seeing that even science is coming around to the fact that there are other invisible forces, other invisible universes out there, which most certainly affect ours. So the particle that comes out as being the important player in this new theory is called a neutrino. And I'm not going to get into a lot of complicated physics here to really confuse you, because it can get a little bit confusing. But anyway, this theory demands the existence of a particle that we know of, but it has a different operation. It's called a neutrino. And essentially, what they're saying is that the dark matter that is holding our universe together, that's preventing it from just kind of blowing apart or expanding apart, is actually a form of this neutrino that's coming from this mirror dimension. So instead of the universe filled with particles, you know, just kind of randomly acting on their own, physicists are coming to believe that there was actually originally a major shakeup of space and time to such a tremendous degree that it flooded the cosmos with gravitational waves. And that the forces that we're feeling here, that we are experiencing here, that actually help the interactions of our universe and hold our universe together, are very much dependent on the energy that had come from these alternate universes. Now, and again, they use the word, we experienced an inflation that shook space, time, and the creation. That goes right back to the Gnostic description, where they said that when matter was created, it was expelled in a tremendous upheaval. So, you know, every time we see so many of these theories in quantum physics come out, they just seem to keep coming back and echoing what the Gnostic masters told us about creation. So, how does any of this affect you? Well, if it's true that we have a mirror universe, or maybe even an infinite number of mirror universes, that means that there are other versions of you everywhere. And that really tells us that we are multidimensional creatures. And just as the ancient Gnostic wisdom predicted, we stem from one master consciousness. And we have versions of ourselves and iterations of ourselves, potentially in infinite universes everywhere, places we can't see, places whose laws of physics may be different from ours, places where perhaps we look different, but in any case, we're all the same essential being, literally spread out over vast amounts of worlds. And it also has some implications for when we pass on. A lot of people obviously are afraid of the unknown. And not that any of this has been proven exactly, although it has, I think, been proven to the sages who have been able to visit these realms by energetic means, not by physical means or physical instruments, rocket ships, but by their own meditations and visions, which have actually brought back very accurate information to this world that's been proven over and over again. So yeah, I believe in this. I do believe that we continue. I do believe that we go on, and I believe that life is a journey. And the journey is maybe here for a time being at one way station or one classroom, but then we move on. We go on to the next way station. We go on to the next classroom along this journey of learning about ourselves, about becoming conscious of who we are and what we are. And the sages basically said that that was the reason that the one consciousness projected itself out into all these multiple forms in the first place, because the everything wanted to know something about itself, so the everything had to become a series of somethings. Doesn't it feel great to be a something? So think about that. And this is just another example of how so many theories that are coming out in quantum physics go back and they echo the wisdom of the ancients. And I think we all ought to take comfort in that, because like I say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Where you have an X and a Y coordinate, you have a much better sense of where you are, what your place is in the universe. And you can study some of these ideas. You can look up some of this information on the internet yourself, or you can just simply keep watching Quantum Spirituality, where that's what we try to do for you. So I want to end it by telling you a little bit more about the book Quantum Spirituality, which is going to be coming out in December. It's exciting news. And I think it just contains such an incredible matrix of information, just putting so much together that has rarely been put together all in one book before, all in one reading before. And we have come to the end of our show today. Please remember to watch us the first Tuesday of every month. And you can access the show archives through my page on Dream Visions 7 Network, which is accessible through my website, petercanova.com. So please keep on joining us. This is Quantum Spirituality, the show where the past and the present, where science and mysticism merge to tell us about our future. Join us again next time.
This ends today's segment of Quantum Spirituality, the show where the past and present merge to show us our future. Join us the first Tuesday of each month for cutting-edge information and informative new episodes. This show will be archived on the Quantum Spirituality Dream Vision 7 Radio Network website page, also accessible at petercanova.com. That's PETERCANOVA.com. This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.